Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part one of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 14 called The Best Laid Plans.
Proverbs 16 verse 1 says, "The plans of the heart, 16:1, belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, Proverbs 16:3, and your plans will be established." Everybody look at that again. Commit your works to the Lord, and what will happen? Your plans will be established. You might want to write Proverbs 3:5-6 right in that margin, because it's the same idea. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? He will direct your path. So you have promises. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, 16:4, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you want to track God's will, you need to really factor in the fear of the Lord and what he would direct you to do. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, verse 7, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. You want to figure out the ways of the Lord? Shortcuts are not of God. Rip-off schemes are not of God. If you say, well, it's going to get me to the end that I'll have a bunch of money and then I can bless the kingdom and serve in ministry, but I got to kind of cheat my way. Not of God. God would rather you have less and be righteous than have more and have manipulated your way to that end. And I know in business and all of that, it's very tempting. When you're trying to make a business deal and you have to cut corners or compromise, but that's not what God wants of you. The mind of man, 9, plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I was reading an old commentary that says, man proposes, God disposes. Don't you like that? If your plan is against God's plan, you're gonna lose. And if you get your way outside of the will of God, it's often destructive as well. A divine decision is in the lips of the king, and we're dealing with King David in our text. His mouth should not err in judgment. You know, if you're a decision maker, you need to be careful that you're seeking the Lord consistently. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern. Now, one more, all the way to the book of James, near the middle end of your New Testament, the book of James, just after Hebrews. James is addressing a group of people who are business-oriented, and he's not saying that making plans and wanting to make money is a bad thing. We all want to be successful at our careers and all of that, but he's warning people not to do that outside of God being at the center of your business or your personal life. James 4:13 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city, spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet, James 4:14, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." These guys were devoid of God. They didn't even put God in the equation. "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." This is what we call sins of omission. They're sins of commission, what you commit. Sins of omission is what you omit. Little boy was asked in Sunday school, "Do you know what the sins of omission are?" He said, "Yes, those are the sins that I just haven't gotten around to yet, but I'm going to get there at some point." No, these are the things that we know the right thing to do it, and we don't do it. R. Kent Hughes says, "So pervasive is our culture's arrogant independence of God that even many Christians attend church, marry, choose their vocations, have children, buy and sell homes, expand their portfolios, and numbly ride the currents of culture without substantial reference to the will of God, close quote. Is the will of God at the center of your decision-making? It needs to be. It should be, because his will should be the primary drive of your life. Is it? Is his will the primary drive of your life? We are in a series called The Kingdom of God. We've defined the kingdom of God as saying it's about God's will, God's way among God's people. You are part of the kingdom of God. And the question becomes, in my everyday life, can I live for that kingdom? And the answer is, yes, you can. If you make God the foundation and center of all that you are doing in your career and so forth. Now, back to 2 Samuel as we pick up this story. And there are a lot of people, as I mentioned, that are claiming to be Christians, but for all intents and purposes, live as practical atheists in their everyday life. That's not what we want to be. So here's 2 Samuel 14, and this is what it says. This is verse 1. Now Joab, he was David's commander and nephew, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart, 2 Samuel 14:1, was inclined. I'm reading from the New American Standard. The ESV says went out. The NIV says longed for Absalom. The New King James says he was concerned about Absalom. And there are some debates as to the meaning of the Hebrew here. The Hebrew is a little ambiguous. And part of what has determined the translation of this is back in chapter 13, the very last verse, verse 39. It says, the heart of the king, the heart of King David, longed to go out to Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon since he was dead. Now, if you weren't with us last time, Amnon was killed by Absalom. Amnon raped his sister. Absalom was angry. He sat on that anger for a couple of years and then hatched a plan and killed his brother. Absalom ran out. He went to his grandfather. He's some 80 miles away from the kingdom of David. He basically hid there and he was banished from the king. And the king was going through a myriad of emotions. He was grieving Amnon, who was his firstborn, heir to the throne. And he was in turmoil over Absalom. And I think it's fair to say from the Hebrew here that David's feeling towards Absalom was turmoil. In fact, there are some scholars that believe, as you move over to chapter 14, verse 1, that the best way to translate this particular verse is that his heart was against Absalom. The Hebrew can allow for that. And then some say that maybe the best way to think about this is that he was mulling over Absalom, but he didn't know which direction to move in. And he didn't do anything about Absalom either. Because what Absalom had done was vengeance for the rape of his sister. And so David could have put it in a category where by the law he should have paid with his life for spilling blood. But then again, Absalom spilled the blood of a man who had committed a terrible crime. And there was a case to be made that maybe he was correct in what he did. He meted out vengeance. Maybe he was correct. So as David pondered that situation, and he also pondered his own sin, which I had mentioned in a previous time that we were together, actually last time we were together, that David had lost some moral authority. It's hard to speak authoritatively into situations when you yourself are in compromise or you recently fell to the same sin. How can you speak with authority to a situation if you just recently did the same thing? David had just committed adultery and murder, right? And so he had lost some of his moral authority. And here he was mourning Amnon. Day by day he mourned him. And he was mulling over Absalom. And I think this is a good way for you note takers to think about it. He was mourning Amnon, and I think mulling over Absalom. That is, he didn't really know what to do or how to feel towards Absalom. If the middle son had died, and I won't go into the other verses right now, that came after Amnon, then Absalom would be heir to the throne at this point, which made it even more complicated. And you're going to see in a moment that Absalom was popular among the people, which made it even more, urgent and troublesome for David. So three fixers we're going to see in chapter 14. Joab is going to try to fix the situation with David. Then David is going to respond in a way to fix the situation. And then Absalom is going to be a fixer as well. Just so you know, at this point, David is about 60 years old. So he is now, an older man, and he's dealing with heirs to the throne and all of that stuff. And he is dealing with this wayward, banished son. You could say in many ways, Absalom was a bit of a prodigal. And you might ask the question, why did David just do nothing? Well, maybe David was worried about protocol among his court. Maybe there was pride. Maybe there was hurt.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
Your financial support helps keep Walk in Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part, every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it, for the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
We'd love to hear from you. If today's teaching on Walk in Truth encouraged you, challenged you, or raised a question, reach out and let us know. Send your comments, reactions, or questions to contact@walkintruth.com or give us a call at 844-48-TRUTH. Your story and feedback matter, and they help us continue equipping believers to apply God's truth to their daily walk. That's contact@walkintruth.com or 844-48-TRUTH. We look forward to hearing from you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
And he is dealing with this wayward, banished son. You could say in many ways, Absalom was a bit of a prodigal. And you might ask the question, why did David just do nothing? Well, maybe David was worried about protocol among his court. Maybe there was pride. Maybe there was hurt. You may have somebody right now that you haven't spoken to in years. And it's hard to know how to take the first step. Maybe you've crafted an email and you put it in your draft, right? Oh, I don't want to hit send on that. Maybe you've picked up the phone and began to dial the number and stopped yourself. Maybe you dialed the number and hung up. It's hard now because now they can tell that you called, right? So you can't do that anymore. But you may have a situation, and I hear about families, sometimes a loved one died and there's an inheritance and they argue about the money and so-and-so hasn't talked to so-and-so, and sometimes it's decades. And you're like, what? Well, it'd been 3 years for David. And the king's heart, Proverbs 21:1 says, is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord rather than sacrifice. And since David was a man after God's own heart, you have to imagine that David's heart was breaking. He didn't know what to do. He was torn over Absalom. And so Joab saw this. Joab perceived, verse 1, the king's heart. The word inclined there in the New American Standard is italicized because we're not sure what David's heart was. Was it against, in turmoil, or longing for Absalom? Here's what we do know. We know that David loved Absalom. We know that. The Father loved his Son. But what to do with that love at this moment, in this time period, I think is the issue. And Joab thought that he knew where David's heart was. And Joab was his nephew. Joab had been there with David through thick and thin, ups and downs, from the times that he was running from Saul all the way to the throne of Israel. In fact, Joab was even involved in the murder of Uriah. So Joab was certainly faithful to David. And I think by this time, maybe Joab thought, I know the king pretty well. I know he's struggling, and I'm going to go in there and fix it. And so Joab sent to Tekoa and brought, verse 2, a wise woman from there and said to her, please pretend to be a mourner. Put on mourning garments now and do not anoint yourself with oil. If you have the NIV, it says, don't use any cosmetic lotions. You know times are desperate when you don't put makeup on. Sorry, ladies. Anyway, but like a woman who has been in mourning for the dead many days. So he goes to this area of Tekoa. He gets a woman who's supposed to be this wise woman. Maybe she's very good at being an actress as well. And he says, I want you to pretend like you're a mourner. I want you to put on mourning garments. I want you to not put on any anointing oil. And I want you to pretend like you've been mourning for days upon days upon days. Dress the part, look the part, and I'll tell you what to do. You're going to go and speak to the king in this manner. And so Joab put the words in her mouth. So he gave her the script. He said, this is what I want you to do. The king's having a tough time, so I want you to dress up like a mourner, pretend, and go to him, and I'll give you the story. Here's what you are going to say. And so he put the words in her mouth. Now, when the woman of Tekoa, verse 4, spoke to the king, she fell on her face to the ground. And remember, the king had his court, and people would often come to the king with difficult situations or pleas for help or even gifts for the king. She presented herself. She fell on her face to the ground, prostrated herself, and said, help, O king, a plea that I'm sure David would have tenderness towards. The king said to her, what is your trouble? She said, truly I'm a widow, for my husband is dead. And your maidservant had two sons, but the two of them struggled together in the field, and there was no one to separate them. So one struck the other and killed him. Now you could see David, he's the king, he sits on his throne, he hears these kinds of stories all day long. He sees this poor mourning widow, she's got two sons, the other son killed the other in a struggle. They were in a field and they were struggling together and there was no one to break up the fight and it got terrible and the one killed the other. Two sons in a field, one kills the other. What story does it remind you of? The story of Cain and Abel. A well-known story to anybody who was Jewish in Jewish society. This was a main Sunday school, I should say Sabbath school lesson you would get as you grew up in a Jewish household. And so David may have thought back to that scene and he may have thought back to his own sons, Absalom killing Amnon and all that went with that. Now behold, she said, the whole family has risen against your maidservant and they say, hand over the one who struck his brother, that we may put him to death for the life of his brother whom he killed, and destroy the heir also. Thus, she says, they will extinguish or put out my coal, which is left. Another way of saying, he's the only light in my life, the only warmth I have left, so as to leave my husband, and she said she's a widow, neither name nor remnant on the face of the earth, my only surviving son. I know what he did was wrong. I know this shouldn't have happened, but he's all that I've got left. And if he dies, I'm going to be a widow without anything. And if he dies, the name of my dead husband will not even have an heir to continue that name. But this is a dilemma. And I have part of my family demanding, they're calling, texting, emailing. And they're saying, you need to hand him over to us now. Back in the day, vengeance often happened where a family that was wronged would appoint someone to be a manslayer. And they would go out and they would seek vengeance for the one killed in their family. There were cities of refuge set up so that the avenger of blood might not kill somebody if you unintentionally killed somebody. In her story, we don't know if the brother killed the other intentionally or just in the heat of the moment. And this is huge when it comes to the law. The law would say if there was something that happened in the heat of the moment, that's more like manslaughter. You know, if something happened, or maybe you were working somewhere and something flew off, a pick flew off and hit somebody. You didn't kill them on purpose. There's a difference with intent. The law has a lot to do with intent and premeditation. Well, in the story, she just says, look, the family's mad at me and they want me to hand over my only son. Can you imagine being this woman? Now, we know that she's just pretending. This is not a real story. But we know Joab gave her the story. Why? Because he wants David to do something about Absalom. And whenever you hear a story about somebody else, let's say it's a loss, a difficulty, what do you immediately tend to do as an individual? You immediately start thinking about what? Your own children, your own grandchildren. And you start to apply the story to the ones that you love. And you may even have some difficult similarities to the story that you hear. Maybe it's a movie that you watched or a show or whatever. And so David certainly is resonating with the story. And David said to the woman, verse 8, go to your house and I will give orders concerning you. The NIV says, I will issue an order in your behalf. So things are looking up. It seems like David's going to help her. And the woman of Tekoa said to the king, oh, my lord, the king, the iniquity is on me and my father's house, but the king and his throne are guiltless. She may be saying here that the king was concerned that he may be doing something wrong if this was an intentional killing, allowing bloodshed to go unpunished. She may be saying, let the guilt fall on me and my family, no matter what you do, king.
You've been listening to The Best Laid Plans, Part 1 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 14. If you miss any part of today's program, you can listen on our free Walk in Truth app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, maybe as you hear the word of God taught in 2 Samuel, you may be thinking to yourself, how can I tell whether I'm following God's wisdom or just relying on my own ideas? Maybe you, like many of us, could say, I was confronted with a situation. I went through plan A, B, and C, and then finally decided, you know what? Maybe I should pray or read my Bible. And we have a promise in Proverbs 3 that when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, when we don't lean on our own understanding, when we acknowledge Him in all our ways, He will direct our paths. You know, we can have good ideas, but the question is, are they God ideas? And you know, there's some areas of life that are maybe not, there may not always be a Bible verse that I can point to and say, ah, here's the answer. But there's usually a principle. But before we even go to a principle, let's make sure that we are going to the Word of God. And if the Word of God has a clear direction, an answer to this dilemma, then that is the foolproof way to make sure that you're leaning into God's wisdom and not your own. And you might be able to use this as a sort of a test case. When you're going through something, maybe you're contemplating something right now. Ask yourself, who am I going to advise for? Am I going to people who are godly and know the Word of God? Or am I going to, you know, secular friends, secular media, whatever it may be? And that's, I think, how you might be able to discern what's going on in your own heart and mind. And you might say, well, Pastor Michael, I've already started down that path. Is it too late? No, it's never too late to repent and return to the Lord. Think of it this way. When you are going the wrong way, you make a U-turn. You do a 180. That's the essence of repentance. And if you have found that you're going the wrong way, you've been walking in, let's just say, man's wisdom, then just make the U-turn, man. Make the U-turn now instead of waiting, because if you wait, it's going to get worse. You're going to travel down that path further away from the truth. This is Pastor Michael Lance. This is Walk in Truth, and we're excited that you're listening to this study verse by verse through 2 Samuel as we move into chapter 14. I pray you're being blessed, and hey, if we can help you in any way, don't forget to check out everything about the ministry at walkintruth.com. We'll see you right here, Lord willing, tomorrow.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part two of The Best Laid Plans.
Once the water's poured out, it's gone. And once life is over, please hear what I'm about to say. It's over. If you want to reconcile a relationship, you want to make something right, God's been putting something on your heart, do it now before the water gets poured out into the ground and you can't scoop it back into the cup again. Everybody with me? Don't do it at the memorial service when it's too late.
I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.